Let's just look at this scripture, Ephesians 2 verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Not the result of work, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It's not something that we can say, I've done it. This is so amazing, I've done all these good things, I must be saved, I must be fine. This is really something that God is doing by his grace, by his love. It's really a gift, salvation, a gift of God that we can accept. And in my own life, I was just going, well, I always went to church. My parents went to church. We went to the read the Bible, doing all the things. And in matric, on the camp, you know, I just stood. We had a cross there, and we had a worship session the one evening. And that was the first time that it just became real for me, what God really did for me, what Jesus did for me when he came and he died for my sin. And that was the first time where I made a decision just to commit my life to the Lord. Before that, I was doing the good things, and Pastor Sias will say that if you sleep in a garage, you don't become a car. So I was going to church, I was doing almost the right things, but my life didn't change. I was not committed to God in any real sense, except from doing stuff. And after that, that night in matric many years ago, it was just the first time that I had such an encounter with God. This is so amazing when I say, okay, Lord, you take my life. Because I was trusting God for so many things. It's university, it is what I'm going to study the next, where money is going to come from. There's so many things that I tried to work out, that I tried to figure it out, that I made my plans and lots of stuff. And that evening I said, okay, Lord, I give over to you. I'm just going to start from here. And I came back to church. It was the first time that I stood up before people and just testifying of giving my heart to the Lord, of accepting what Jesus has done for me, giving over. The first time. And then I went to some of my friends and shared it with them. Some guys, they were not so happy to hear it. I don't know if it brought condemnation or whatever, but they really didn't rejoice with me. So I went to other guys and they were very happy, and we had lots of fun and we rejoiced together. But the thing is, that was for me when I made the decision to follow God. That is just a starting point. And I trust that we will all have that starting point. We will all have a point. And even maybe we've done it before, we can always make a recommitment. If we experience that we're not really living a life committed to God, because that happens. We just go off track a little bit. It happens to all of us. We are broken people, broken vessels. Romans 8, verse 38 says, for I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from that love. And that's what's available for each one of us, the love of God. And the next clip that we're going to show is really just something about what God really did when he sacrificed his son so that we can have life and have life in abundance. And that's really what God has done for us. He gave us His Son. Sometimes we think that it's almost like, you know, God is almighty, He can give His Son, and we can have life, and we don't think about the real implications of that love. That love that is so real, the love that He's put out there for us, that we can have life. And what we've seen there, also our God is giving. His Son died for everyone. If we're going to accept Him or not, it's there. He's done it for everyone. He didn't first check how everybody's going to react and what they're going to do. It's for everyone. A free gift available for us. And that's really what's available. And through that, if we accept Jesus, if we make the decision to believe that Christ has died on the cross for our sins and that He rose again, that He's paid the price for our sins, if we believe that and we confess that, then we step into the kingdom of God, where God becomes our Father, where we step into a new family, where we can step into where there can be life and life in abundance. But still, salvation is only the first step. That's only the starting point. Because the word says we become a new creation. In 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, and if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Jesus, through Christ, reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God done everything that we can be reconciled to them. And now it says, Galatians 5, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not fulfill or gratify the desires of the flesh. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. So now some people say, okay, I've done this, but how can I know? How can I know that it's true? How can I be sure? It's something that we believe, and it's also the Spirit that's testifying with our spirit. In 1 John 5, I'm just quickly going to read these two pieces of scripture. 1 John 5 verse 11. This is the testimony that God gave us, eternal life. And this life is in the Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So we can know that we have eternal life. We can have that assurance of our salvation. We can walk with it. We can walk in that confidence. And then Romans 8 verse 14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And verse 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That is the assurance. We can be assured of this. But often we go on and then we say, but okay, we've started the process. But it's really difficult. I'm still doing this and this and those things. I'm still struggling with certain things. But that is fine. That is why it says in Philippians 2 verse 12, says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Remember, we are soul, body, and spirit. And that soul, that mind and emotions, our will, that's a process of surrendering that to the Lordship of God. That's the process of we work it out. In my life, there's always something that God is working with me, or highlighting. For me, it's simple. If you come to the light, God is the light, it reveals stuff that used to be in the darkness. It just shows up. Say, whoa, I thought this thing was fine all along. It's actually not good. And I just got a conviction of that. The Holy Spirit is something that just reveal, and I say, okay, I've been doing this thing all along. And then there's a place where we repent, Repentance really is where you can say, you confess that it's wrong, and then you turn around, you turn away from it. The real proof of repentance is in our deeds. It's in the things that we're doing. If you just say, I'm sorry, sorry, and you do the same thing, and it's, oh, I'm very sorry, you do the same thing again, I'm really sorry, do the same thing again, that's not true repentance. True repentance is where we turn around, you walk away. Obviously, we can fall, we can fail again. But that's also where it comes in, where we as a body of believers come together and we have accountability. You say, listen, take a few guys. You say, guys, I'm working through this thing. Pray with me. Help me. At men's camp, it was so good when they said our private life and our public life is one life. That was really almost an eye-opener. Well, just to see it in that way. We tend to like to have certain things in private that you don't want anyone to know about. God knows everything. But we believe that we can hang on with some things in private and in our public life what we show to the people. And that's really one life. And that's the challenge, to make it one life. To find someone that you can trust, someone that you can talk to. Doesn't have to be the pastor. We're all in this together. We're all working together. The accountability. 1 John 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He, that's God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just. The moment we start speaking about something, we bring it into the light, then that's the first step in breaking the power of the devil over your life. That's the first step. When you bring it in the light, then God can come and He can just do something. The healing process can start. If it's in secrecy, man, it's very difficult. It's so easy for the devil to come, or just you. You feel convicted, you feel guilty, there's so many bad emotions, so many bad things, and it's just keeping us down, and we're just struggling all along. And the thing is, we're all sinners. It can almost be liberating. Usually when someone starts confessing, the other guy will say, hey man, I'm also struggling with this or this thing, and the other guy will say, I've also got something, and the other one will say, actually all along, I've also got this thing. We're all sinners. The lie is that we think is that once we start confessing, there's going to be shame, there's going to be guilt. What are people going to think about me? And that lie almost keeps you that you just go on with that thing. You keep on living in secrecy. But once we can break through that, that liberating, that life can come. We can be set free. So it's really, it's not easy to surrender our will, our emotions, our finances, to surrender everything to God. That's a process. That's a difficult thing to do. And the other thing is just forgiveness. We've been forgiven much. We've been forgiven. God will pay the price if we accept and we confess. Then He forgives. That's the promise. But what we do, we want to hold that forgiveness. We don't want to give it out. Sometimes people will do certain things, and then they say they also repented. They say they try to reconcile, but now we say, okay, no. I'm not going to allow the forgiveness to flow through my life. It's probably a bigger teaching. I'm just throwing it out there this morning. Just look at where you harbor unforgiveness in your heart. Because what it really does, it closes our hearts off. And then it also closes your heart for the love of God. That's what unforgiveness will do. You will just struggle. Yeah, it's really a bad thing. We can discuss it more. I'm just throwing it out now. Repentance and forgiveness. Ultimately, The proof is where our hearts are. What do we love? Like I said in the beginning, the battle is for our hearts. One scripture says you cannot serve two gods. You cannot serve God and Mammon. That's really the power of money that I mentioned. But that's really that spirit, that thing that's coming for your heart, coming for you to get to your heart. And we will know if it's whatever it is. But that's the process of working out our salvation, an ongoing process. In Matthew 16, verse 24, Jesus is talking to his disciples. And he said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Counting the cost. You often say, "Yes, just accept Jesus. Your life is going to be great. Let's do it." And then we do it, and we don't live it. We don't work out our salvation. We just stop there. But it's really counting the cost. It's really, there's more to this. The amazing thing, there's a lot of amazing promises. There's a lot of life in abundance. There's a lot of promises, a lot of good things. There's an amazing life where you can be guided by God, making the right decisions. But I know, I want to work this thing. I'm so afraid about my life and the family and making the right decisions. It's so easy for myself just want to take control and to steer the boat and to make this boat go in the direction that I think is the best. And the funny thing is, God also wants the best for us. He's more committed to our lives than we self. He wants the best for us. So we also want the best. Now we want to drive the boat. He wants the best for us. He wants to drive the boat. And now we're battling almost. We want the same outcome, but we must let go. Matthew 16 continues in verse 25. Whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. He will repay each one. And that is the thing. We count the cost. The challenge today is that we can allow God to take control over our lives. Because each one of us, there's a place for you. Where you fit into God's kingdom. Something that God wants us, each one of us, to do. Something that's our place. That's our thing. And if we allow the distractions of this world, if we allow everything to distract us and to come against us, and if we're holding on to all these parts of our lives, trying to make things work out, then it's just going to be a very long time till you get there. That's just for myself. I just feel that God, it's almost like the Israelites in the desert. They were just going around and around and spent so many years in the desert. They're working through stuff. But it can just be so much better almost. And that is just the message of today. There's one last piece that I'm just going to show. I believe it's for each one of us is to find, we start with salvation. We start with that process. Afterwards, after the service, I'm going to, when the worship team, when we do the last song, we'll just have an opportunity that we can just pray together. We'll also have communion. And we can make a recommitment to God. Or we can just say, "Lord, this area of my life I struggle with. Or Lord, this thing, this is what I want. This is where I want to go." Because for each one, this is your place. Your place. Where just something, God can lay something on your heart. Where you just know God can almost tell you anything and you disobey. For me, that's still a scary thought. But it also links to my trust in God. If I trust God with everything, then if I hear His voice and He's telling me to do something, I know He wants the best for me. And I can run with that. Even though it doesn't look good in the natural or whatever. When we were still in Shofar Delft, we were very close to moving there. Because Lee prayed and she said that maybe we must, if we want to be effective there and we want, then we must move there. I wasn't sure if we must do it. I was praying about it. And I didn't have peace about it. But I had to search my heart to really check, am I afraid of going there? Is it just that I don't want to stay there? Or what is it? What is it? Why I'm saying no? She was ready to go, but that's something that we work through. We pray about. We almost moved, but then I just got the word. I believe that God is going to move us. That's when we came here. So, and then we didn't move anywhere. We stayed in the same house. So things work out differently. But I was going over that thing all the time. Must we move? Must we stay? What's going to happen? Just prepare to follow God. This piece that we're going to show is just about a couple, what happened in their life, and then just how they responded to that. Amen. So today, it's not about just giving up everything or selling what they did. It's more about just giving over to God, surrendering to God and the Lordship of God in our lives. And we're going to hand out the communion. So ushers can just start giving the elements. And then it's basically just, I really got a heart for the city. I believe God has placed us here for a specific purpose. Each one that come in here, it's for a specific purpose. We're a team that God is building. He's building His church. We are God's kingdom being established here. But what I pray for is that each one of us will just come to a place where we just surrender to God. Because ultimately, God just wants relationship. He's not interested in all the things that you can do or all the things that you can do. Well, wherever, the first place, He's interested in our hearts, interested in relationship. Relationship with us, each one. And from there, we can, as we spend time with God, as we spend time with the Lord and surrendering part of our lives to Him, then I believe He will start revealing a little bit more, a little bit more, showing us, maybe challenge us, but we will move with God. We will see amazing things happening. And the world is crying out for people that's just prepared to stand up for the Lord. People that can show them a little bit of life, a little bit of love. Because out there, there's not a lot of love. And even this weekend in Cape Town, there were a lot of things going on, the International Tattoo Festival, Alice. And other, there's a naked bike ride coming up. There's the gay festival. There's a lot of things going on around us. Just happening. But we can stand up as people, sons and daughters of God. We can make a real difference. And we will see the kingdom of God coming. But it starts with each one in our lives. This morning when we take communion, I just want you to just pray to the Lord, spend time with God. And just surrender your life to Him. Father God, we thank You for today, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for Your word that speaks to us. Thank You, Father, for Your love, unconditional love for each one of us. Lord, love that we don't even deserve. We didn't do anything to get it. We thank You, Lord, for that You gave Your Son. You allow Him to die for in our place as the price for our sins. And then He rose again, Lord, and thank You for that victory, the victory that happened on the cross. But this morning we can remember that, Lord. Thank You, Father, that we can come together as Your people in this place. And I pray, Lord, that for each one of us, You will reveal, You will show us what's going on in our hearts. Show us, Lord, because we get comfortable, we just go on with life. We try to make life as nice as possible. But thank You that You ultimately, Lord, You are the one that gives life and life in abundance. And we just return our hearts to You, Father. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Each one, just where you are, just pray and just talk to the Lord. And we can take communion. I'm just going to ask if you... You can play for us. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, it says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me." For as often as you drink and eat this bread, or as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. So this morning we proclaim what God did for us, and we will proclaim it till Jesus comes again. Can us all stand? I'm just going to sing another song, and then we're going to be here, and I'm just going to give opportunity if you want to pray with me or someone. We'll be in front. But I believe this is an ongoing process. It's not going to be once off. We're going to work out a salvation. And we are here to help one another through good times, through bad times, through every time. Amen. If you're here this morning and you still need to make a decision for the Lord, I want to invite you to do it. We would love to pray with you. I would love to pray with you. Or maybe you want to make a recommitment. Say, Lord, yes, I've strayed a bit off the path and things didn't go so well. I want to make this right. Let's do business with the Lord. Don't just walk away. God is really here and He's speaking to us. The band will still play for a little bit. I'm going to be here. The service is over now. We can have coffee and things there at the back. Maybe even if you just want to sit or you just want to pray or just pray with someone, grab someone next to you. But just use the opportunity. Amen. Because we're going to go into different times. Different times is coming. And we're going to advance the kingdom of God. And it's not always going to be easy.